Have you ever stared at a really big project, maybe some software you need to build, and just felt lost? Like you see all these different parts, but how do they fit? Where do you even start? It can feel completely overwhelming.
Oh, absolutely. That feeling is, well, it's pretty common. But that's exactly what we want to tackle today. We're not just giving you a map, we're showing you how the roads connect, specifically through the lens of software design.
Right. So our mission today is to demystify two really key ideas: top-level design and data flow. We'll break down how you figure out the main steps of a program, and then crucially, how information actually moves between those steps using what are called in-and-out parameters. Get ready for some real aha moments, I think.
Definitely. It's foundational stuff.
So, okay, when you're building software, you don't just leap into writing code, right? There's that first stage analysis where you nail down what the software actually needs to do, its requirements.
Exactly. And then comes design. This is where you figure out the how. How's it all going to work together? And that's where we're focusing our deep dive today.
And a core concept here is top-down design, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's a really powerful approach.
Yeah.
You start with the main steps of the program. The top-level algorithm, you could call it, just the big picture.
Okay.
Then you take those big steps and you refine them. You break them down into smaller, more detailed sub-programs or modules. Think of it like outlining an essay. You start with your main points, then you flesh out the paragraphs for each point.
Right, getting more specific.
Exactly. And each time you repeat that breakdown process, making it more detailed, that's called stepwise refinement.
Which leads us straight into modular programming. Why actually bother breaking a program into these separate bits, these modules? Is it just for tidiness?
Oh, it's much more than just being tidy, though that helps. There are some really solid advantages. For one, you often write less code overall.
Oh, so.
Well, because you can write a single procedure, a single module to do a specific task, and then you can reuse it whenever you need that task done. You don't have to write the same logic over and over.
Reusability. Got it.
Big time. And it makes designing the whole thing easier, too. Smaller teams, or even one person, can focus on smaller, manageable parts instead of trying to keep the entire complex system in their head at once.
So it helps with collaboration.
Definitely. Multiple programmers can work on the same application more easily. And the code itself tends to become shorter, simpler, easier to actually understand when you look at it later.
Which must make finding bugs easier.
Much easier. If something goes wrong, you can often pinpoint which module the error is in rather than searching through, thousands of lines of tangled code.
Makes sense.
Plus, that reusability means code is more portable. You can potentially use the same module in different projects. And importantly, it helps you control the scope of variables.
SOPA variables.
Right.
Remind us what that means.
It's about where a variable can be seen and used. With modules, you can often use local variables that only exist inside that one module. This stops different parts of the program accidentally messing with each other's data, which can cause really tricky bugs if you're just using, say, global variables everywhere. We can touch on that more later, maybe.
Okay, so modularity makes things manageable, efficient, reliable. It's pretty fundamental.
Absolutely fundamental.
Now, to help visualize all this, developers use something called structure diagrams, right? What exactly are those?
Yeah, structured diagrams are super useful. Think of them as visual blueprints for your software's architecture. They model the different parts of the modules and critically how they connect and relate to each other.
So, kind of like a flowchart, but focused on the modules themselves.
Sort of, yeah. It lets you visually break down that complex problem into the smaller subproblems, which are your modules. And you can even show how those modules might be broken down further. It gives you that top-down view.
And it's not just for the initial design.
No, it's great documentation, too. It helps everyone understand how the system is put together before coding starts. It really clarifies those main steps and refinements we talked about with top-down design. It shows how the individual bits interact to make the whole system work.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting for me. You have your modules laid out in the structure diagram. How do they actually, communicate? How does data get from module A to module B? That's data flow, right?
Exactly. Data flow is all about tracking that movement of information. In design, we explicitly show what data is moving between modules. We use terms like in for data going into a module.
Okay, like an ingredient going into a recipe.
Yeah, good analogy. And out for data coming out of a module, the result it produces. Sometimes you might even see in out if a module takes data in, modifies it, and then sends the modified version back out.
And how do you show this?
On a structure diagram, you typically use arrows to show the direction of the data flow between modules. And in pseudocode, that sort of English-like code outline, you often list the in and out parameters right next to the SEP description, usually down the right-hand side.
So it's clear right from the design stage what each part needs and what it provides.
Precisely. Clarity up front.
This makes me think about functions and procedures in programming. How do they fit with data flow?
That's a great connection. In design terms, we often think of a procedure as a module that performs a task. It might receive data in, do something, and maybe return results out, or perhaps just print something or save a file.
Okay.
A function, specifically in this design context, is usually seen as a module that takes some information in and returns one specific piece of information out. Think of mathematical functions, like calculating a square root. You give it a number in, it gives you back the root out.
So the key difference is that specific single return value for a function.
Often, yes, especially in strict design definitions. A quick check in pseudocode is, if a step assigns a value, using Timmermans-Zeichen, like set result, calculates something. That calculates something is likely acting as a function, returning a value that gets stored in result.
Got it. Now, when data is passed into these functions or procedures, what are those pieces of data called?
Right. So the general term for the data a module expects is parameters. They're like placeholders in the module's definition.
Okay, the placeholders.
Then, when you actually call the module during the program's run, the real data you pass in is called an argument. So the module definition has formal parameters, and the call provides the actual parameters or arguments.
Formal parameters in the definition, actual parameters or arguments when it's called.
Exactly. This distinction helps keep things clear and manage that scope we mentioned earlier. It defines the interface for the module, what it needs to do its job. Local variables stay inside. Parameters handle the data coming in and often going out. It prevents a lot of confusion, especially compared to relying too much on global variables, which, as the source material advises, can get messy in complex programs.
That theoretical framework is really clicking into place, but, you know, seeing it in action would probably help cement it. Can we look at that Music Fans program example? How does it use top-level design and data flow?
Yes, absolutely. Theory is one thing, practice is another. The Music Fans program is a great little example. Its goal is simple. Collect names and ticket counts for 3 fans, check if the ticket count is valid, then randomly pick a winner from the fans who entered.
Okay, so how does the design look?
The source lays out the top-level design with data flow nicely. It starts with a loop. Repeat 3 times.
To handle the 3 fans?
Right, inside the loop first. Receive name from keyboard as string. No explicit in or out shown here. It's just getting raw input.
Okay.
Then, append mand, append name into a himere. Again, simple action, adding the name to a list. But then we see data flow. Set num tickets to validate num tickets.
Ah, calling a module.
Exactly. And the data flow is specified. A10 hon name, O-U-T, num tickets. So the validate num tickets module needs the fan's name, maybe to display a prompt like enter tickets for sham air, and it returns the validated number of tickets.
I see. So it takes the name in, does its checks, and sends the valid number out.
Perfect. That loop repeats 3 times, building the femare and getting validated num tickets. Though the example doesn't explicitly store num tickets per fan in the top level, just validates it. After the loop NXT, we need a winner.
Right.
So the next step is set winner name to decide winner nair. Data flow here is in and ham array, O-U-T, winner name.
Makes sense. It needs the list of names to choose from and it outputs the winner's name.
Precisely. And the final step, send winner name to display. This just takes the winner name as input, and winner name, and displays it. No out needed here.
That breakdown is crystal clear. You really can follow the journey of the data, what each step needs, what it produces. It's like that production line analogy works really well.
It really does. And the source even provides the refinements, the internal logic for modules like validate num tickets, checking if tickets are between 3 and 6 and an integer, and decide winner, using a random number to pick from the array. It shows that stepwise refinement beautifully, going from the top level down into the details, with data flow guiding the connections.
Okay, great. Let's try a quick mental warm-up for everyone listening, building on this.
Yeah.
A really simple problem, just adding 2 numbers. If you were sketching out a top-level design for that, how would the data flow look? Think about the basic steps.
Yeah, super simple, but good practice. The basic steps would be something like 1, get the first number, 2, get the second number, 3, add them together, 4, show the answer.
Okay, so applying data flow thinking. Mm-hmm. What would step 1, get number 1, pass OUT?
It would need to pass OUT.num1, you know, the first number it received.
And get number 2.
Similarly, OUT.num2.
Right. Then the third step, add numbers together. What goes in and out there?
Well, it needs both numbers to do the addition. So it would take in.num1num2. And its purpose is to produce the sum, so we'll pass OUT answer.
Perfect. And finally, display the answer.
That step needs the result to show it, so IN answer. And since it's just displaying, it doesn't really produce data for another step, so you could say OUT.NiNA, or just nothing specified for out.
See, even in that simple case, thinking about in and out clarifies exactly what each part does and how they link up. It's that core thinking you do before writing the code.
Absolutely. That in and out thinking scales up, even in huge systems, maybe communicating between different services over a network using APIs. It still boils down to what data does this component need in and what data does it provide out.
Yep.
Getting that clear is fundamental.
Wow, what a deep dive. We've gone from feeling overwhelmed by complexity to seeing how top-down design and structure diagrams help break things down into manageable modules. And then crucially, understanding how data flow. Using in and out parameters for functions and procedures orchestrates how those modules actually work together.
It really is a foundational approach for building software that's not just functional, but also maintainable, robust, efficient. Easier to understand later,
yeah.
Easier to fix, easier to enhance. It's all about that upfront thinking, that clear design, before you dive into the code itself.
So the next time you're facing a complex challenge, maybe it is software, maybe it's planning an event, maybe it's tackling a big research project, think about this. Can you apply a top-level design? Can you break it down into modules or phases? And critically, what's the data flow? What information needs to go into each step and what needs to come out? Defining that flow might just turn that overwhelming puzzle into a series of clear, solvable steps.